This morning we're going to talk about blessing, and I really feel like that is okay and that God's okay with that, because I know that some of you may have left last week a little bit discouraged or a little bit overwhelmed with the topic of the conversation. Now, maybe you didn't, and that's okay, but I know that sometimes what can happen when we hear a message like that is we go, oh, well, if I'm overrun by bitterness or this heavy message about this sin in my life I need to deal with, where is the goodness and the favor of God? Right? Well, the goodness and the favor of God is found in his blessing. And so I want to this morning unpack a little bit about that for you, because I realized as I was praying this through that for 6 years Pastor Trevor and I have been here, we have always done a blessing for the baby that we dedicate. And I unpack it a little bit before we do it, but we've never had a pointed moment of teaching as to why we bless babies and what does blessing have to do with anything. And you will be shocked to know that roots of bitterness could actually be linked to a lack of foundational blessing of the Lord in your life. Not always, but it does present the opportunity that, you know, last week, if you were here, I referenced that there's actually a clinical term called post-traumatic embitterment disorder. If you think you maybe suffer from post-traumatic embitterment disorder, which funny enough, I talked to a friend this week and she went, I think I might have that, then I would like to suggest that maybe there's an area of your early development where you have missed this passing of the blessing of the Lord and the protection of his favor that has opened you up to believing some lies from the enemy that as they have cultivated over time have created some fertile ground for bitterness to have taken root. So this morning as we celebrate children and we celebrate Christopher, we are going to celebrate the blessing and favor of the Lord. Is that okay? Excellent. So blessing. Clicker working, hooray. From the very beginning of scriptures, okay, if you wanted to open your Bible this morning and you want to look at Genesis chapter 1, you will see that the Lord shows his blessing and his favor from the very first passage of scripture that we have. From the very beginning, he spoke the darkness and created the light, and he said it was good. That is a declaration. That is a blessing. That's his favor. He separated the waters from each other. He created the sky and the land, and he saw it and said, it is good. He spoke life and growth into the land and created vegetation, and he said it was good. Or up to the third day, every day he said it. He created the lights in the sky, one for the day and one for the night, and again he said it was good. He created the creatures of the sea, the birds to fly in the air, and he saw that it was, okay, now I want to pause for 1 second. It's still all good, okay? But all of a sudden, we have a living thing, and I want you to notice what happens next. And then he blessed them. He blessed them, the creatures, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the waters and the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And thus, the fifth day ended with a blessing. He created living creatures on the land, and again he said, it's good. Then he created man. In his own image, the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And after he created them, he blessed them. And he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Isn't that amazing? On the sixth day, God saw all that he had made and said, it is very good. From the very beginning, God declares that what he has done is good. And not only does he say it's good, but he speaks to increase. He speaks to multiplication. He speaks to an authority that he's bestowing to people, to man, Adam and Eve, over all of that creation that he has. And it's, I mean, he's God, right? Does he actually have to say it? It's a great question. And yet he does, which says that there's something to releasing the blessing of God where your words convey that to the people who are receiving it. When he gets to the seventh day, he still blesses it, even though he rests. He blesses it and says that it's holy. Our foundational scriptures, the very first chapter of a Bible that if anyone wanted to pick it up, when I have friends that don't read the Bible and they tell me, yeah, I picked up a Bible and I'm going to read it. I started in Genesis. Was pretty good. Exodus, great. I got to Leviticus. I can't read anymore. I always worry when they say they start at the beginning. But from the very first chapter, if they read it, it's clear that God blesses his creation. And yet, have you ever been blessed? Quinn, True, Patrick, Jordan, Christopher today, three of these four, I can confidently say it's happened. I don't know. It's something to you for you to think about. Has there been a moment where you have been aware that you have received a blessing? I would like to suggest that some of you probably have and didn't realize it if you're married. Because generally there will be a component of a marriage ceremony that, while it might not be worded that way, typically conveys the sentiment of God's favor on that union, of God saying that when a man and woman come together, it's good, right? That they're one. So most of us have either seen or experienced that, but outside of that context, how many of you, by show of hands, have ever experienced, outside of the baby dedications you may have seen here, a blessing ceremony? One, two, three. That's not many of us, is it? So listen, I just want to unpack it for you this morning, because if we're going to deal with the things in our life that we need to let God's light shine into and expose the darkness and find healing, we need to understand that the blessing, the power of blessing, is part of that healing balm that God has provided that anchors our feet and sets us on that path. And the exciting thing is that he can do it at any age and stage of the game. Isn't that cool? So what is a blessing? A blessing is simply God's favor on your life. So how many of you know that you live in God's favor as his children? How many of you, aside from someone saying, God bless you, have ever received a blessing that goes beyond that in your life? Anyone? Okay, that's not bad. There's a few people. That's exciting. The favor of God is actively displayed in the creation story that we talked about. And the thing we need to understand is that the words are the conveyor belts that take the unseen powers and realities, and they speak them to our minds and our hearts and our internal belief system. Okay? So, have you ever met someone who's an adult? I know a few people like this, and it's probably more of a generational thing. I know adults who were never told that they were loved by their parents. And in their parents' latter days, if it ever comes out, the response of the parent is what? Well, you knew that I loved you. Has anyone ever seen that happen? Like 99% of the time, that adult child has still lived in lack, questioning it the whole time. They never actually knew, did they? On one level, they should believe it in their head, but their heart and their spirit and their soul, it never took root because it was never verbalized. It was never conveyed to them. This unseen thing was never translated in a way that it deeply pocketed into who they were as a person. And it affects them. It will affect their marriage relationship. It will affect their capacity to parent their children, because they're trying to give from a place of lack. And what we don't want is we don't want that to be a thing that happens. So a spoken blessing is a delivery vehicle for divine truth and power. From our earliest moments in our worldview and our acceptance is being formed. So even in the womb, science, scripture, all of this confirms that life trauma or life belief systems will affect the development of who you are as a person. That's why you can find adults who were adopted as children from the moment that they were born, right? I know people who they were literally at the hospital the day the baby was born to adopt the baby. That baby can still struggle with a sense of rejection, even though they were so wanted and cared for. Well, it can be because that in utero, in those formative times in the mother's womb, maybe the mother, I know of people who were dealing with it because the mom had contemplated abortion. And that sense of not being wanted, or the sense of this baby being a burden, and so they had to give, and all of those things that they thought the baby never knew about, they carried that burden with them throughout their developmental life. And there is a way that God can deliver healing and wholeness to that through blessing and break that and let them walk on something. But if nobody ever knew, it might not happen, right? And that will be a transformative moment. While we were being knit together, we can receive these things. It's our responsibility as parents to not only raise our children up, but to instill the faith, but to pass God's blessing onto their lives. Now, Pastor Trevor and I were fortunate enough that we received this teaching. I think it was pregnant with Gabriel when we started really looking at blessing and what the power of blessing can do to transform a life. And so we've been very intentional with our children. I don't pretend that we have done it perfectly, but I can see where it draws them up. It draws you out of the place that you're at and into something different. So I'll give you an example. Every night when my children go to bed, there will be one phrase I always pray over them, no matter what. For three of them, it's one thing. For one of them, it's another. What is, Jackson, when mommy prays for you at night, what do I call you? He's a mighty man of God. She is a mighty woman of God. They don't have to grow into that. They are that now. You need to plant those seeds of who we are as God sees us, because when we get that, we hold on to it in a different way, right? There's not this moment of questioning later that says, I don't know, have I become a mighty man of God? Do I have what it takes to be a mighty woman of God? You might question it, but through that spoken blessing, the seeds are planted that you understand that, no, you are. That is how God sees you, even if you struggle to see yourself. It is important, and I can't stress it enough, that as parents, we understand the significance of imparting this to our children. It's life-changing. And it's not something that you can just impart to your children. You know, John and Wilma can impart blessing to their grandchildren, and there's scriptural precedent for that also. It's something that if you have a position and a place of influence in someone's life, you can pass that blessing on. And so there have been men and women who have lacked the blessing of their parents, that God has opened doors that adults of influence in their life later on came in, and they imparted that blessing from God to them. And that is the beauty of God. It's never too late, and it will transform a life no matter when or where or how that happens. So in our culture, we don't really get this, right? In the Jewish culture, they really grab a hold of it. In the Jewish culture, at your 13th birthday, all Jewish children will have a bar or a bat mitzvah. And part of that is celebrating who they are in Christ, who they are in God, as they step into their adulthood. So in that moment, in that big celebration, a big piece of that is speaking that blessing onto their life. In an Orthodox Jewish home, a child, by the time they leave in adulthood, will have been blessed at least around 1,000 times. Every week, they will gather around a table, and they will speak a blessing over their children. They will speak Genesis 12, verses 2 to 3, and they will say, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse whoever curses you, and all people will be blessed through you. Over the boys, they pray that God would make them like Ephraim and Manasseh, and over the girls, they pray that they speak that they would be like Sarah, Rachel, and Leah. I have never experienced anything like that in my life. On the contrary, what I usually see in our culture is this. Oh my gosh, that was some temper tantrum. You look just like your mom, right? In our culture, we're very quick to speak the counter and not quick to do the other. How different would life be if instead of speaking what we see, we call out what we know God has planted in destiny moments? How different could things be if instead of speaking to the things that we see that are unhealth, we call out that which is better and bigger? You're not broken. God has made you whole. You're not alone. You're a part of the family of Christ. You're not unloved. You are deeply and desperately owned and loved and bought and paid for a price by the one and only Jesus Christ. It changes the worldview completely, doesn't it? And so when we begin to look at things, we see that. And so you might be thinking, okay, well, you know what? That is the Jewish people. And we are not Jewish because we are in a Pentecostal church on a Sunday morning. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, you are now trying to finish by means of the flesh. Are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain if it was really in vain? So again I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by works of the law or by believing what you heard? So Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are called children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles, that's you and I, by faith, and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. And we're going to stop there. So it doesn't matter, because you were grafted in. You are grafted into those blessings as being part of the family of God. So the question becomes, what happens if those blessings were never spoken over you? You were not an infant child here in the last 6 years, and we didn't bless your conception or bless your name or bless your whatever. You know, you didn't get married here, and we didn't bless you at your wedding ceremony. Well, the thing is that, like I said earlier, God can impart that blessing through other people that he has stewarded in your life. And we have the privilege and the honor, when we know it, of being able to speak those things into other people's lives. That's a privilege. It truly, truly is to be able to pray and to seek God and to call up the best in someone as he sees it and shows you. It is crazy, crazy cool. I don't have another word for it. It's true. A blessing is an opportunity to speak light and life and God's favor into the significant moments of someone's journey on this plan, and in doing so, position them well for their preferred future in Christ. That is what we get to do with Christopher this morning. We all get to be a part of that. Isn't that cool? I think it's beautiful. If you personally can see and sense areas in your life where blessing has been withheld, either intentionally or unintentionally, because the sad thing is some people might intentionally hold out on that, and I hope and pray that has not been your circumstance, but if it is, there's still a bigger God than your circumstance. God can still release this in you through someone who's close to you and holds a place of influence in your life. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, we see that favor is given by God and people. God leads people to work together with the Holy Spirit to impact his purposes when he wants to bring favor to a person. God's favor is often expressed through people. So I can think of a time before I ever even knew this. Something had happened, and I've referenced it before, as a pretty big moment in my life, and it wasn't good. It was not good. It was not a God-honoring moment, and there were a lot of natural consequences that followed that. Even though I had repented, sometimes we know that when we sin, you can repent, but it doesn't change the natural sequencing of consequences, right? Like, if your kid trashes your house in a fit of rage, they can say that they're sorry and you can forgive them, but they're probably still gonna have to clean your house. It's just the way it works. And in this moment, though, this situation, it was a doozy, and it had gone deep into my heart. It had affirmed some areas that I had been rejected, that I had believed some lies that I didn't even realize were there. And we were at a youth pastor's getaway thing, and Randy Gill, who pastored in Oshawa, they were praying for people, and I was up there, and there were a group of people praying, and I will never forget, he came over, and he put his hand on my shoulder, and he started whispering into my ear, and I have never in my life experienced someone call something out of me that way. And without knowing what was going on, he spoke to every doubt and every fear and every lie that had taken root, that had had room from the foothold in my childhood that I had grown up in, and from this circumstance in my life that I was living out these natural consequences from, and he spoke God's light and life and wholeness. I did not walk out of that room the same person. I didn't. And God has those moments for us because his heart is that we would be made whole. He doesn't want us to walk under the curses that have been spoken under us or under a lack of blessing. He desires to pour his favor out on us. So the significant moments, if we were looking for like, okay, well, what are the moments? If I was going to look to bless someone, what are some significant markers that I would do that? Obviously, this moment that I've spoken about with Pastor Randy, that was not a traditional moment, right? And those things will come about. But significant moments we deliver blessing are at conception. We've had a couple conception blessings here for families who they have been desperately seeking God to be able to have a family. And when that happened, we bless that because we know that God is in and is a part of forming a child in a mother's womb and all of that happening. We can't separate that from Scripture, can we? No. Okay. We can bless someone when they are named. Naming someone is a sign of authority. God gave Adam authority in the garden to name the animals. There was authority in naming Eve. When you name your child, you have the authority to do so. And when you name them, that name is truly the biggest blessing that will be spoken over their life. Did you know that your name holds a meaning? Everyone knows that, right? My name means Princess of Peace. It's a little bit ironic sometimes. But the thing is that name is a blessing. It's a word from God that is spoken over you every time someone says, Pastor Stephanie, even if I'm not feeling it. Mary, when someone says your name, there's a meaning that's attached to that, and they declare that over you. That's why, for us, it was really hard to name four kids, because there were a lot of names we didn't want the meanings of. We were just, like, kicking them to the curb, right? I have one girlfriend, and she's in her 50s, and she goes, I wish I had known. I named my son Chad, and it means warrior, and oh my gosh, that was his childhood. But if you don't know, you don't know, right? And God can redeem names, and there's some really cool ways that he does that through Scripture, but a name is something you speak over, and so it's good to bless a name. Your early childhood. When you are blessing someone at their early childhood, you are blessing them and affirming who they can trust in the world. You ever felt like you didn't know who you could trust? I've had some significant moments, and I know it comes back to this point in my life. Your teen years. Do I have what it takes to make it in this world? If you are looking to bless someone in their teen years, that is the place that they are desperately needing unlocked blessing and favor of God in their life. Do they have what it takes to make it in the world? Adult years. What am I called to do in this world? Who am I going to share my journey with? There is nothing worse than feeling like your parents or their parents don't support your choice of who you're going to spend your life with. Maybe they did at the beginning and now they're expressing otherwise, right? Those things can stop a blessing when we start believing the lies that it plants inside of us. But if God has chosen and God has put together and you're partnered with someone, then he's still going to be in that, regardless of those changes. So we bless people at that point. In the senior years, anyone want to take a guess what this one is? What would be the blessing someone would need at this stage, heading into this stage in life? I think if we started blessing it, we'd probably see some life. Am I still needed in this world? Grandkids have something to do with that, though, don't they? They do, right? Because as we watch life coming behind us and we look at, you know, I've talked to a few people I trust deeply and they've shared, like, what do I have to offer? I'm supposed to make this transition that everybody says I have to make and I don't feel like I'm done yet, but I don't have the stamina I used to have. What do I do? You're still needed. I need you. I need the wisdom that you have in my life. I need the skills that you have to offer me that maybe my parents didn't have to give me. I need the blessing and the words and the favor of God that you hold because you have experience to see it. I need that in my life, and so do my children, and so does every other person in this room younger than you. You are needed. You are needed. A wedding, a baby dedication, a significant life transition. That's not easy, right? When you're making decisions, I know Pastor John has shared with me before, but when he decided to step out of ministry and drive truck, that is a moment that can be blessed. That is a moment that life can be spoken into and favor can be spoken into, because when God's leading, we need it affirmed. We need it, right? We need to know that God's in it. We need to know that people are still believing in us. So the thing with the blessing is that words say it, deeds show it, and ceremonies seal it. Okay, so you convey the blessing with the word. You cannot really bestow a blessing on someone if you don't open your mouth. It's very difficult. There are some ways people have tried to work around that, but really it involves words. Deeds show it. So sometimes it's just the action of living it out after the fact. In other points in time, how many of you have ever seen a foot washing ceremony in a wedding? Right? That is a deed and a ceremony all in one, where they will wash each other's feet and show that they will serve each other and love each other and honor each other and be humble. And ceremonies seal it. And so with that said, this morning, do you guys feel like you understand this a little bit better? I want you to know that tied into last week, if you are thinking, you know what, Pastor Steph, I've been wrestling with this all week, and you know what? I just can't put my finger on why or where the bitterness came from. Maybe you didn't, but if you were, maybe it's worth prayerfully considering and asking the Holy Spirit to show you if there's a point in your life where you missed out on blessing that God would like to come back and pour his favor into so that he can heal that area of your heart and your life, and you can walk it out, and you will find that walking out of the bitterness will be completely different than it was last week. That is a possibility. Okay, and if you pray about that and God showed you something and you don't know what to do with that, call me and I will help you walk that out and we can talk about it. Maybe that's not the case. Maybe you had a great week and you were like, yeah, you know, it was a good church service and that was a thing. But maybe you're realizing that, you know, as a kid, you kind of question where you fell in your family. You kind of question whether or not you were cared for. And as an adult, you're now in maybe a marriage relationship or a dating relationship, and you're kind of questioning where you fall or stand or sit in that relationship. Maybe there's a blessing that you need bestowed on you about your acceptance and belonging in Christ and his love for you that will open up the floodgates for you to be able to experience it in this other area as well. And it happens all the time. A part of the family of God, the body of Christ, to use a New Testament term. So in a desire to obey that command, I'm going to ask Ben and Anne-Marie and the kids, if they're coming, if they would like to come and join me at the front.